You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In an article on Newsroom, John Morgan, head of the School of Critical Studies and Education at the University of Auckland, discusses his belief that we are seeing a collapse in the country's curriculum accord. This comes as the government has announced a plethora of changes to the country's curriculum heading forward. I spoke to Morgan about the history of the curriculum accords in the country and why we are seeing changes in this space. Firstly, for those unaware, what is a curriculum accord and how did this term come about?
So a curriculum accord was termed by the American educationalist Michael Apple in an essay he wrote in 1988. Curriculum accords are periods of, for Apple, are periods when there is broad agreement about the aims and purposes of schooling and what should be in the curriculum. So it's almost when sort of society agrees to agree that this is what most kids will be taught, and although there are some arguments about whether we should have a bit more sort of modern history or whether we should teach more ancient history or different forms of mathematics, there's broad agreement that teachers and educators should be left to decide the content of the curriculum. So there are moments of stability. That's the curriculum accord. And in my article, you're going to ask me this question, I guess, I suggest that when those accords break down, we get what we might call a crisis of the curriculum, and there's intense debate about what happens, what should be taught in schools.
Have we seen a sort of crisis, as you just mentioned, with our curriculum accords in the past before? You've mentioned in the article there were at least two different curriculum accords we've seen. Was there a breakdown between the transition between the two of these?
Part of Apple's argument, and the argument I make in my article, is that curriculum accords tend to happen when there is broad economic growth, there is some sort of form of social stability, people broadly agree what culture means. So at those moments when when those things break down, the curriculum becomes almost like a sort of a proxy for that type of debate as to what's going wrong in our society. So I argue that in the post-war period from 1939 onwards to the mid-1970s, New Zealand is characterised by a broad curriculum accord, where there's agreement about what schools are for and what should be taught in schools. It was very much a British model. It was imported from Britain, but there was a strong American influence, and there was quite an argument about whether we should be pursuing a more traditional curriculum or a more progressive one. But from the 1970s, the agreement about the aims and purposes of education begins to break down. So there's much more sort of worry about, are we meeting the needs of a diverse changing population? Are we meeting the needs of a more affluent youth culture who are becoming teenagers and sort of going their own way? The world of work is changing, and are we preparing the children in the right way through the curriculum? And so in those periods of intense debate in the 1970s and early 1980s, the curriculum became almost like a political football. And that's sort of the last crisis of curriculum.
You say in your piece on Newsroom that the second curriculum accord seems to be collapsing. What are we seeing now that has made you come to this conclusion?
I think that what's happened from around 1990 to perhaps 2020, 2021, a gradual agreement about the aims and purposes of educational policy was established, and a new curriculum accord. This was the idea that New Zealand curriculum ought to be producing young people who were entrepreneurial, innovative. They were able to learn how to learn. They could be independent and flexible, in order to take sort of their place in a competitive labour market, and that would benefit New Zealand, which is a small Pacific nation, having to compete in a competitive global world. So the economy became much more sort of central to educational debate, and we saw that very much in sort of what some people call the neoliberal experiment, where there was very much a sense of giving schools some ownership, increasing some flexibility, choices of subjects. Subject knowledge, detailed knowledge, became less important than the skills of learning how to learn. And over that period from 1990 to about 2020, more and more educators and teachers took on board those ideas. So we had arguments about flexible learning environments, modern learning environments. We had ideas about personalization of the curriculum. We had ideas about formative assessment rather than an end-of-year test. So we had a sort of what I call a progressive alliance. And The highlight of this, and I suppose the other thing to add to that, was there was an increasing recognition that although schooling was creating divides and inequality of outcomes, the aim of education policy ought to be more inclusive and ought to recognise the evolving bicultural nature of Aotearoa and New Zealand. So we had much more recognition of Te Tiriti, and that was expressed, the high point of that for me is expressed in the 2023 curriculum refresh, which was very much a strongly moral curriculum, which said this is how we think schools should be producing people to be part of this new bicultural nation. And that was the high point of it. That curriculum accord, I think, has begun to break down in the period of the Stanford Ministry of Education and the National First Coalition government. They've really tried to dismantle much of that architecture, which had become common sense over the previous 20 to 30 years. And that's why it's become so noisy and so conflicting, because many of those common sense assumptions about what schools were for and what teachers were doing are now being directly challenged by the government. Now, I suppose the question you would have to ask is this related to a crisis of the nation? Just like in the 1970s, was it something happening in the economy which was changing, something that was happening in the wider culture? And that's something I leave untouched in my article, because my hunch is that something is going on. The economy post-2008 has not rebounded to levels of economic growth of the previous 20 years. There seems to be a much more sort of fractious public youth culture around social media. There seem to be all sorts of debates about parenting and how we should be living our lives. And all of these things are impinging on the question of what schools are for. So I'm sort of arguing that the curriculum accord of the 1990s to 2020 is coming to an abrupt end, and we have to reimagine what curriculum might be in the future.
And that kind of leads on to my next question, which is sort of a million-dollar question, but what can we expect heading forward?
Well, I think at the moment we have a strong, what I would call a conservative restoration, which is not just happening in New Zealand, it's happening in the United States, it's happening in Britain, where there's been a return to sort of arguments for what some people call a knowledge-rich curriculum, which is often interpreted as being going back to basics, going back to traditional subjects, making sure we teach lists of rivers and lists of countries in geography, lists of the traditional history curriculum. So we're seeing a sort of a backlash towards a sort of form of conservatism with a small c. I wonder whether that will last for very long. I think that the new curriculum accord will probably have to take into account the fact of a change in climate, the fact that our post-crisis economies are likely to be smaller and we're going to have to sort of do more with less. We're probably going to find way. We're going to sort of see a lot of division taking place in society, and we're going to sort of see new ways of cooperating and new ways of schooling come into the fore. So, you know, you might, for instance, argue, and some of my students argue with me, that the rise of homeschooling and free schooling in New Zealand is a reflection that people are sort of giving up on some of the formal institutions and finding some other ways to live. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it's an interesting one question to ponder. It might be that the new curriculum will be more on making and doing rather than on cognitive development. I mean, all of those questions are open. It comes back to Apple's argument that the curriculum is strongly influenced by the wider economy, society and culture. And so as those three things change, it's likely that what we count as valid knowledge will change.
That was the University of Auckland's John Morgan on the collapse of the country's curriculum accord.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.